Hallelujah. 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 Can we rise to our feet? Jesus, we honor your presence. We honor your presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you for your power and your joy in this place. Thank you for open heavens. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, mighty Father. Thank you, Father. Can you begin to raise a sound to the Lord as a sweet incense? Raise your sound to the Lord. Raise your sound to the Lord like a sweet incense. Let him hear you. Shut up, O Suketekina. Ranamau Shadola Brokatara Bolsa. Father in heaven, oh, we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. Let your kingdom be established on our praises.
God now a shout of praise. Will you do that now? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Are you excited at what God is doing? Give the Lord a shout of praise in this house now. That was sounding like a murmur. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise now? Please have your seat in God's house. Have your seat in God's house. Now, just before we have Minister Caleb come in, bless us. We, on the 2nd of November this year, God added life to one of us. That has been an amazing blessing to us. Our brother and our friend. And he happens to be Apostle Spear. And we thought it wise to put a feast for him to celebrate him today. Being the last day of this conference. He's been a brother. He's been an amazing friend. And we would like to invite my dear brother and friend, Philip B, to join us off stage. Let's celebrate him now. Would you do that? I know you didn't see this coming. You will have to cut this cake, sir. Come on now. Let's honor him. Please, sir, your hand on the knife. Your hand on the knife. So this is to long life, greater impact, much more influence, that the cause of God in your life, the cause of the kingdom in your life will move from glory to glory and from strength to strength. And with Jesus' joy, at the word Jesus, as we spell Jesus, we will cut the cake. Are we together? Please, let's watch. I'm sure that Philip B is cutting the cake well. Are we together? J. Can I hear J there? E. S. U. And S. Let's celebrate him. Happy birthday, Philip B. We love you and we honor you deeply from our hearts, sir. And on behalf of the PCs, please, we have this gift to present to you. On your birthday. Happy birthday, sir. Come on, can we honor him? Amen. Amen. All right. So can we sing that now? Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. One more time. Happy birthday. We honor you, we love you so dearly, and the Lord bless you, and a happy birthday. I would have asked Papa to come and pray for you. Eh? Okay. Papa, please, with all due respect, you want to crave your indulgence, sir. Please, sir. Please, just a word of blessing over Philip B and an image with Philip B. Thank you so much, sir. This is Philip B's only wish today, sir.
Amen. He's been a great blessing, and I'm not saying it because that's what I'm supposed to say, but that is just the fact. Can we pray? Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you pour out your grace upon your servant and let your name over him sustain him. In the name of Jesus, as you move him into more sensitive labors in your kingdom, we plead that the requisite grace needed to prosecute your counsel in such a way that you will be pleased might be bestowed upon him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Papa, please, an image with Philip B. An image with Philip B. Yes. Okay. Come on, let's celebrate, Papa. Philip B, happy birthday once again. We'll share the cake at the foyer. At the end of the service. Come on, let's celebrate, Papa. Can we have it out? Amen. Let's just have a seat one more time. The Lord bless you. Please. No, please. No, sir, please. Amen. Amen. We have guests that have joined us in the house, and we'd like to recognize them briefly. We have the resident pastor for Christian Central Chapel, Abuja, and the only son-in-law to Bishop Emma Gospelison, the person of Pastor Oku Ita with us. Let's celebrate him. God bless you, sir, for coming all the way from Abuja to be a blessing. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. We have my biological father came. Hold on. Came with the cream of his ministers that are pastoring the ministry he's running in the city of Uyo. And I'd like to recognize the presence of Pastor Gabriel Joseph, Pastor Ime John Bassi, Pastor Sunday Udofia, and his dear wife. Let's honor them, and my wife, my mother as well. Let's celebrate them. Thank you for coming all the way. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Every minister of the gospel that is here represented, we do not take your efforts for granted. We honor you deeply and your labors in this city. And just in case we do not recognize you, we are not ignoring what God is doing in your life and why you're here. We celebrate you deeply. Can we honor them now? Can we do that? Do that. Very importantly, we also have a guest that walked in just now, the person of Pastor Emmanuel, a great friend and brother to our father, and he thought it wise to share fellowship with us today, all the way from the city of Port Harcourt. Can we honor Pastor Emmanuel? God bless you, sir, for coming. We honor you, sir. Come on, let's make that better. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for coming. Please, very importantly, all the guests that have come in from different states would like to have a short meeting with you. You just wait behind at the choir stand, and that meeting will be effected just at the end of service. Very importantly, about now, God will be bringing us his word to the ministry of his servant. But before that, let's receive the ministry of my friend and brother all the way from the city of Abuja, Minister Caleb David.
Thank you, Jesus. Can you just open your mouth and adore him? Let's worship him. She had a bayana la mana, 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 she had a b
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let's be quiet and pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege that we have found in you. The very fact that we are numbered in you is such a privilege that we cannot fully fathom. When we come before you, we empty ourselves of ourselves so that we can set our gaze perpetually upon you, our rock and our strength. And we ask tonight that it might please you to show yourself in such a unique way that we enhance the destiny of every single person that is participating in this meeting and those that will yet participate online and through the materials that the bounty of your presence will be stored upon. I ask that you show us mercy tonight and stretch forth your hand in our midst and make unto yourself a great name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. I am here to first of all carry out a very critical function. And the function that I intend to carry out is tied to Philippians chapter 4. So you may wish to turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I will tell you the verse of interest when I have successfully introduced the function that I intend to carry out before we go into the Word of God. If we study the book of Acts of the Apostles, you are going to see a circle of the move of God. And there was a specific format in which the intentions of God were administered that I would like to draw our attention onto. The mandate that Jesus gave the apostles was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He made them aware of the nature of the enterprise that he was bequeathing to them and the kind of labor that will be required to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. According to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the scope of the enterprise was global. Meanwhile, Jesus prescribed the rhythm of God's move from territory to territory that is required to satisfy the desire upon the heart of God. You are not with me. Stay with me. You know, many of us think that revival is haphazard. It is just like a loose fire, burning and burning. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That's where the fire should start. He prescribed the route that the fire should take. So it's not haphazard. If it's going to give glory to God, then there must be a pattern to it. And Jesus did not only talk about the resource base, which is going to be the investment of God in the person of the Holy Ghost. He also spoke very carefully about the path. Now, can you just reduce the volume a little and stop playing with it? Are you with me? He did not just talk about the investment of the grace of God that was going to come through the person of the Holy Spirit that we will have access to, and he will empower us in order for us to be able in terms of capacity to prosecute that which is upon the heart of God. He did not just speak about that. He prescribed a path. The path that the flames will have to pass. And it started with Jerusalem. If you were there in those days, you will react to what Jesus said, because Jerusalem is the southern part of Israel. Even though I don't have time today to show you the geography of Israel and how the worst place to begin a movement that was contrary to Judaism was Jerusalem. Because you don't make converts of Jews. You can convert to Judaism and become a proselyte, but you can't convert a Jew. And Jesus, it seems Jesus knows something about the power of God much more than we do. And he said God's offering from the earth will begin from Jerusalem. That's contrary to human thinking. Then it will move on to Samaria. It will move on like that. Judea. And on to the uttermost part of the earth. So there was all a pattern of the move of the flames. In the eyes of Jesus, the investment of the anointing, you are still not with me. If Jesus gives you an anointing, a measure of the anointing, in his eyes, that measure of the anointing is equivalent to the resource that is required to take a territory. So the moment he said you receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the next thing he begins to mention is territory. It means that if you are galvanized with the anointing of God, and you cannot influence a territory. It means you have a challenge. A challenge which I will need so many scriptures to describe. Because Jesus, upon releasing the anointing, the next thing he sees is what? Territory. It means there's a place you must influence. And if your life and the grace of God upon your life has not been able to influence the territory that God had in mind before he decided to equip you, it means there's a shortfall in the expectation of heaven. Number three. So if you follow the progression, you will find out that the center platform for this launching pad had to be Jerusalem. Don't forget that the enterprise of the labor of the gospel is a global enterprise. You see, if someone is running a business and the center of the business is in Uyo City in Akwa Ibom State, are you with me? You're not with me. Okay. Because you are not with me, I will jump. Now, maybe when you labor in the wilderness a little, and it is obvious that you need what I would have said, the Lord will look for another way to help you. But today you have missed it. The founding apostles that were equipped with the education that Jesus gave them in order to make them capable of prosecuting the mind of God, began this whole enterprise in the city of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, after a little while, it became obvious that the apostolic endeavors in Jerusalem lacked the cutting edge to fulfill the full scope of the global requirement. Let me show you evidences of this. Can we go to the book of Acts of the Apostles? Chapter 11. Hallelujah. So something sounds like a phone somewhere there. In my eyes, it's an abomination for someone to bring a live phone into service and he can't manage the phone so that the phone becomes an object of distraction. You are wrong today. Today, you are wrong. If we trace a ring to you, I will show you heaven's perspective about your error. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. You know, there's no fear of God again. You know, I gave you a little introduction of myself yesterday. I'm a law enforcement agent. You didn't meditate about it. We went to Sokoto to preach the gospel, and I made the same announcement. Don't allow your phone interfere with the transmission. Just like when you're on an airplane, there will be some form of announcement. They say, okay, the signal of your phone interferes with our navigation system. The only thing that is averse to the anointing I have is the ringtone of a phone. It can step me out of my journey. Now, so I announced it, and someone insulted me in the congregation in her heart, and she became dumb. I know you don't believe it. Maybe you have never been close to a real man of God. It's not all positive. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. I want to begin reading from verse number 19. These guys were equipped with the grace of God, but heaven investigated their possibilities after a while and concluded that they lacked the capacity to prosecute the full scope of the global mandate. I will show you a few symptoms from the scriptures that reveal that there was a model that they were running in Jerusalem that made them handicapped, incapable of prosecuting the full scope of the mission that Jesus handed over to them. Now, in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, the Bible says, "Now there, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to Jews only." Part of their discipleship emphasis, are you with me, was that what was happening, what was breaking out of heaven, belonged only to Jews. So even though there's a burden on your heart, you need to ask the person, are you a Jew? It's when the person accepts that he's a Jew that you can now offload. And this orientation was contrary to the global mandate scheme that Jesus had handed over to them. It was obvious that using their model, God would not achieve his objective. Guess what Jesus did? He began to move his resources from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was supposed to be the centerpiece of the entire avalanche. But God, because of the nature of the functionaries that were domiciled in Jerusalem and the roadblock that they had placed on the possibilities and the potentials of the gospel, he decided to move his resources, move the center of the activity to another location, even Antioch. There are two actors in the book of Acts of the Apostles. The first actor was Peter, and the second actor, Paul. Paul's apostolic base was Antioch. Peter's apostolic base was Jerusalem. There were a few indicators in the life of their disciples that suggested the kind of activity that took place in Jerusalem. You could see that as they were going, because of the persecution, they began to preach the gospel. That means there was some capacity building that took place. Oh, are you here? We could see their strengths. We could actually decipher the kind of training that they received when that persecution came. The things that they were competent in doing was suggestive of their training. I can show you evidences through the fillers that find expression in the book of Acts about the kind of training that they received. First on the list is apologetics, the ability to provide a defense for the things that they believed, because Christianity was established in the heart of Judaism, and they needed to know how to dispute and how to contend for the faith that they believed in. And you will see that most of the stars, like Stephen, they were high contenders. They had the eloquence, they had the capacity to defend their belief system. If you see the way Paul operated, you will see that he disputed, that he contended. It was a result of training. It's not as if they just started operating like that. The second thing that they did in the Jerusalem church was to formulate doctrine, a collocation of the things which was most surely believed in the community of Christians. It's our beliefs that set us apart from Muslims. It's our beliefs that set us apart from any category of people that claim to be religious, that sustain a certain kind of worship system. So you will see how that there were times when there were controversies as to, okay, what is the general rule concerning circumcision? You will see all those kind of debates. Those days, in order for them to stumble on greater light, there was an accommodation for debates. You know, there was a time in the body of Christ when this demonic gospel began to spread, this hyper-grace gospel. I happen to study, my discipline is chemistry. And in chemistry, there are several things that are stable in nature. For instance, uranium is not stable. That's why it explodes. Every true doctrine that has the capacity to bring renewal to the heart of a man is a stable doctrine. And what I mean by that, I say this in the light of my calling, in the light of my discipline, trying to use chemistry to explain the Bible. All right? The Bible, speaking about Jesus, said, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of what? The expression of the glory that was unraveled in the life and ministry of Jesus was summarized in these two statements. There was a lot of grace in him, and there was what? A lot of truth in him. So if you are talking grace, we need to balance it with truth. If not, it will not be stable. If we push grace without truth, people will become, they will use grace as a license. Meanwhile, the early apostles had already judged that matter. How that Paul, in the book of Romans chapter 6 from verse 1, asks a very large question. Shall we therefore continue in sin that grace may abound? That man is attempting to balance the possibilities that come with grace with truth. Because in grace, there is forgiveness. It is possible for you to abuse grace if you don't balance it with truth. It will produce something that is counterproductive to the agenda of God. Are you with me? I'm also reading you. If I notice at any point in time you are not comfortable, I will leave you where you are and continue my assignment. When you are old, you will know that you are wrong. But you would have used your life as a specimen. You see, you don't need to dive into the water to know you can't swim. May the Lord give you understanding. He says, shall we continue? Because this covenant gives us the privilege of forgiveness. And for your information, in all the religions of the world, what makes Christianity different is because there is a possibility of forgiveness. There's no other God anywhere that forgives. And forgiveness is a function of a facility called grace. It is possible for the fallen nature to see the possibility of forgiveness as a means of taking advantage to stay within the crucible of sin. The thing about sin is that the power of sin is perfected when you stay in it. And the oldest personality that has stayed in sin happens to be Satan himself. At the end of the show, when he was unveiled and people saw him, they said, are you the one that he had diminished? Sin had deteriorated his possibilities so much that when he was unveiled, he looked like someone that cancer had dealt with. You understand that? The more you stay in it, the more it will deal with your fabrics. So, if you stay, there is an aspect of the possibilities of sin that is not captured by doctrine. Let me press further. Are you with me? There is no scripture I can bring today now and tell you that if you commit fornication 4 times, with 2 adulteries, with 16 bottles of star, you will lose your salvation. It is not captured by doctrine. Are you with me? You know how you will know when you will lose your salvation? Your life will become the specimen as you go in your own case study. Because maybe your grandfather sold slaves those days, human beings. He exchanged them for money. Your own may be that you commit 3 fornication. The Holy Ghost leaves you because of the backlog that runs in your ancestry. Are you with me? The older brother there, it was his grandfather that translated him book to the local dialect. He can labor in sin more, and God might pretend not to know. So you, are you with me? So we cannot, the thing is, if you linger there enough, you will lose it. And there are 80 scriptures in the New Testament that confirms that. 80. It means the subject of the possibility of losing your salvation is not hidden in the Bible. Jesus used illustration. Okay, let me give you a simple one. Have you read that scripture that says, I run not as one that beats the air, but I beat my body. I put it under subjection, so that when I preach to others, I myself may not be what? Okay, that's just one out. That is many 79. So when you don't balance grace with truth, it's not stable. Grace can become the reason for which you were snared. Exactly. Okay, you don't like my talk. Let me leave that. Don't worry, I will leave it. These people, when there was lack of clarity in truth, what they did was that they organized debates. And I can show you evidences of where such debates were held. What forms the Apostles' Creed? The creed was about 6 years of debates that concluded. That was how the Apostles' Creed was generated. You know, if we used to still do debates today, false doctrine would be minimal. You bring your, like a court. Okay, the reason why I believe this is because of this evidence, this evidence, this evidence. This is the definition of this. Another person will come with his own scriptures, and at the end of the day, you know that lady of justice that holds a beam balance. In your own judgment, you will know the side that has weight with God at the end of the presentation. That was how doctrines were formulated. And that was part of the activity that took place in the Jerusalem church. so that they could provide what was stable. Are you with me? You're not with me? All right. Okay, since it's a bit clear, I don't need to take you to the book of Luke chapter 1. The third thing that they did in the Jerusalem church was evangelism. Unfortunately, in the training that they dispensed, they taught the people to only reach out to Jews, making God look like a racist. And with that foundation, God knew that they did not have the capacity to prosecute the scope of his enterprise. What did he do? He began to move his headquarters. Even though Jerusalem was prescribed, he moved his resources from Jerusalem and he moved them to Antioch. How do I know this? Acts chapter 11. If you read the scripture where we read, you will find that the trigger for the movement was persecution. I'm talking about Acts chapter 11 verse 19. The trigger for the movement was what? So God allowed persecution to come into the space and the believers were scattered. And if you check Acts chapter 11 verse 19, you will see that there were three possible destinations for the people that were running from Jerusalem because of the persecution. One of the possible destinations was what? What? Second destination. Third was what? Let's start again. The first one was? Second was what? Third one was what? Now, just in case you are a friend of the newspapers, Vanguard, Guardian, and Sun, this is what you will find as a news caption. Church scatters. Possible destination for escape. Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch. That's the headline. Are you there? Yes. Now, listen. In the book of the same Acts chapter 11, verse 27, there were a set of people that moved, which were the real people that God was going to use as the foundation of the new station. These guys were never mentioned. Their names were never mentioned before this time. No one knew they existed. Their operations in Jerusalem was undercover. And in Acts 11, 27, the Bible says, in those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. These ones were led. And for the guys that were led, the destination was one. But the people that ran because of persecution, the destinations were what? And what God was doing was that he was moving his resources in terms of manpower from Jerusalem because he needed to start a new apostolic platform. It was in this new arrangement. Are you with me? I hope you know in the entire New Testament, this is the first time, apart from Jesus, that sets of people were called prophets. And this is 8 years after the ascension. I don't want to press on that, but I just wanted to see what is happening here. So they were moving from Jerusalem and moving to Antioch. You would think that what, are you with me? This movement was not captured in the newspapers. It was the other one. And the guys were moving. And the new premise was where? Antioch. So let's take a snapshot at Antioch quickly, because the apostolic model that eventually got the approval of heaven, that had the stature to fulfill the original mandate of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, was the model that was established in Antioch. In Jerusalem, I will tell you how they got funds to do the things that they did. And because this new model was designed, tailored specifically to meet the original mandate, everything about this system was different. Let's take a snapshot. The snapshot of the Antioch formation is in the book of Acts chapter 13. I know you know that scripture. Acts 13 verse 1. And we see the pillars. We see the relics of this new apostolic formation that God wanted to entrench. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers. So there was an alliance between the prophets and the teachers to facilitate a move of God. Are you here? Prophets and teachers. Well, I don't want to press on that. That balance of the prophet and the teacher was critical in the formation of this new cluster. It was within the crucible of this partnership that the Bible revealed that as they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the strategy that will become the foundation of this new establishment was unveiled. And the way the Bible revealed that the Holy Ghost spoke, even though in the congregation there were teachers and prophets. Are you with me? The way the book of Acts chapter 13 revealed that the Holy Ghost spoke, it was not as though he spoke through the mouth of one of the prophets. Because the Bible has a literary culture that if it's Agabus that God is speaking through, you will hear things like, and the hand of the Lord was upon Agabus. And the Lord spoke through the mouth of, but the Bible says the Holy Ghost spoke. In my own opinion, this is me, not, and where I am is safe in doctrine. Alright? In my own opinion, I believe that it was audible in the congregation. The Holy Ghost spoke and he said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them. Now, these guys were going to be missionaries. That means part of what determined the rank of this new apostolic platform, because every church has a rank, every fellowship has a territorial rank. And it's on the strength of this rank that the church can actually, or fellowship can facilitate the intention of God for that territory. There are several activities that are not, that cannot take place in some territories because the entire collocation of the body of Christ within those cities do not sustain the needed rank to prosecute that dimension of justice, of judgment, and of equity. There's a rank matter. These guys, they were preoccupied with ministering unto the Lord. What exactly is the meaning of ministering unto the Lord? Well, let's also leave that. What they did was that they ministered unto the Lord and they fasted. And as they did that and kept on doing that, God looked at them, and in the eyes of God, they had sufficient rank for them to execute and prosecute as a body within the territory a strategy of the Spirit that had the texture of the original calling and mandate that were given to the apostles. See, when you start a fellowship like this, meanwhile, this is not my message. There's something I want to do. But we need to build perspective so that you will see that it's in the Bible first. Maybe somebody from here starts a prayer fellowship in Oron. They are 3 people. They become 5 people. They become 8 people. They become 13 people. They become 20 people. The person might be saying we are growing. But that's not what heaven is saying. Your numbers numerically might be increasing. But that doesn't bother heaven. It only bothers you. Heaven is looking for compliance, looking for faithfulness, is looking for consistency in spite of circumstances and situations. In fact, heaven might even allow Satan to test all of you. Your finances will go down. You want to get married suddenly. You don't have money to prosecute it. Why? And there is no reason for you to continue that prayer. But when it becomes senseless to continue the prayer, you still continue. It means that you are ready to follow God even when it doesn't make sense. At that point, it's not your head you are using to follow God, it's your heart. You are not with me. When you get to that point as a congregation, all the people there, 20 people, there can be 2 people, there can be 5 people. You get to that point where the reason why you are continuing is because your heart is drawn to him, not because it makes sense. All of you have sustained a rank with God. And that rank that you have, that God has allocated to that fellowship, is what will authorize you to have some dimensions of authority to prosecute the counsel of God within that space. Are you following me? You might even begin, continue, and two members of the prayer team die. And then you now reason and say, hey, there is death here. And 6 of them will escape. You are not. 6 will escape from the place that people die here. Then it will not remain 5. These 5, they know that people died. But they don't know why they are continuing. Those ones receive that corporate fellowship receive a higher rank that even death could not discourage them. Rightfully. The ones that took off hoping to preserve their life according to the scriptures, if you decide to save your life, what will happen to you? Suddenly you become wise and you want to help God to save yourself. Because God can't help you. God can't save you. And do you know something? God will not explain why the 2 people died. Oh, many of us think that God functions, God is under obligation to be explaining to you why the sun rose late. He will come to you and say, my daughter, I was busy. I couldn't push it out. Then, you see, when you become comfortable operating without explanations, it means you are now understanding that God is a king. He will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. He's not a prime minister. You didn't vote him into office. It's an eternal excellency. He'll be ruling before your ancestors came. So now that you are willing to follow him, even though it doesn't make sense, you have accepted a king. And the fellowship will now have a higher rank. And what they can do in the territory is consistent with the rank that they have from heaven. Do you realize that the whole Jerusalem church, all the time they function as a church in Jerusalem, they never sent anybody out on a missionary journey? The people that they sent out, Peter and John, they sent them to Samaria to check the evangelists. They checked, administered Holy Ghost baptism, discovered the Ezemo in the midst, administered judgment from heaven, and escaped back. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost spoke because the fellowship had gained a certain rank with heaven
to administer heaven's will in a territory. The most effective ministry in this town may not be a large one. Satan is going to double up and marshal out his attacks on that colony of people that have a rank from heaven. That's where Satan will be camped. And this is irrespective of whether they are large or what. So, when we talk about rank, it is, you know, if human beings will talk size, we're 4,000. That's the kind of thing we like to hear. Heaven talks rank. And the rank that is operational determines what can happen. You might be saying, oh, why is it that revival has not taken place in the city? There are no men of rank that can take it beyond what currently exists. The moment the ranking appreciates, you will not need to pray about it. You will hear the Holy Ghost speak, even if he doesn't find a prophet separate. A new strategy will come out of heaven because the rank that is needed to prosecute it has been given. Are you with me? Remember, in Nigeria, we have had camp meetings where 9 million people gathered. I think our highest in terms of numeral is 18 million in one meeting. And you know what? The texture of the territory where that meeting was held did not change because of the meeting. So we are used to campsites to gather people. But because the gathering is not a gathering of rank, it can't change the community. Don't be offended, though. Because I'm saying you want to be offended. Calm down, calm down. Let us talk kingdom talk. Can we talk the talk of God? Hey. All kinds of money. They say, Kai, you people in Benue State, you must come with 45 buses. Ooh, 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 then you have 9 million. And after 9 million people gather, they lack the capacity to shift principalities. Meanwhile, Daniel, one man, was on his knees and Prince of Persia was arrested. One man. So we like campsites. We don't understand that true kingdom things will take place if our fellowships and churches have rank. You see, I'm noticing you are not comfortable with me. So, I'm not concerned about the number. Most of the sermons you heard that blessed you, there were only 20 people before me. 25, 30. But you see, that stronghold of 30 people had rank. For God to push. In fact, sometimes I come to the pulpit without a message. Because of the rank of the people I'm standing before, heaven opens. Not because I'm anointed. The people, do you understand? As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost! He didn't have anything to do with any of the persons there. I mean, I have more than 200, 300, 400 times. I have come without anything. And after the sermon, I will need to go and take notes because I've never heard what I said before. It came straight from heaven. But gather infantiles in millions. Even what you came with from the mountain, you will get lost. The days have come when we need to aspire for rank. Why are you following Jesus? You are following him because you have something to gain. What if there's nothing to gain? Oh, you are not aware. You are not aware that when Jesus died, there were still people following him in debt. What are they going to gain in debt? People were still coming to anoint his body. He had died! And you know the way he died? He died like a man that was cursed. He died on a tree. It's not a sight that a Jew can behold. They were still going to check on him in the garden. Where did you keep him? What kind of loyalty was that? That's the way of men of rank. Oh, someone is confused whether God uses women. The first person Jesus sent a message after he rose was a woman. Weeping, she didn't see that her life could continue without that man that was in the tomb there. He said, even though I have not yet ascended to my father, I have to come to you. Go and tell my brothers. I want to do this thing of convenience, and what matters from kingdom perspective is first of all rank. I hope you see the roll call there. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Go there. Let's count the number of members. There were certain in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And so, I know that's not a company you want to be in because it doesn't have numerical strength. But it was that conclave that had sufficient rank to draw out of heaven the next level of apostolic strategy that will continue the mandate with the kind of punch and power that is needed to fulfill the scope of the enterprise. Now, because of, okay, this is the bet of missions for your information. This is the bet of apostolic missions. And apostolic missions actually came as a strategy to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, the question I want to ask and answer, for which I ask you to open to Philippians chapter 4, is, okay, what's the airfare if you are traveling by air to Sokoto from Uyo? You're not aware. You will do Abuja first and take Azman. It's Azman that goes there. Take Ubom to Abuja. Take Azman. Sokoto, that means two flights. The challenge with mission is funding. Now that they're going to be operating like this, how do they get the funds to do it? Have you seen the scope of Paul's missionary journey? The entire region of Asia Minor was conquered by this initiative that came forth through this utterance of God. Some of the cities that Paul labored have been privileged to set foot in those nations. Some of them are Islamic. The relics of those movements can no longer be traced, because a time came in the body of Christ where the temple could no longer be maintained. We'll lose grounds to the enemy, just like we are losing so many grounds even here in Nigeria. Men of rank will need to arise again. There were several men that if they were alive, the things that are happening today would not happen, because they will add to the pool of corporate rank, and it will be impossible for Satan to march on several cities. Our Christianity is large in number but devoid of rank. And so the beasts will still be in our corridors barking, because no one like David can rise to challenge them. I say this so that as we leave this conference, you will trust God for higher rank. Let rank be your hunger. Because your clearance level in the spirit is determined by the nature of your pursuit of Jesus. Now, there are some demons that can be in people, and you may come and say, go, and they won't even listen to you. And just in case you contend with someone that is educated in darkness, even though light is superior to darkness in the natural, it doesn't mean you will win an ezemu. Because when you contend with one that speaks for the devil, the one that wins the day is the one that is most submissive to his master. So if the guy that is working for Satan is more submissive to Satan than you are to Jesus, forget that battle. The real issues of dominion will be told by men of submission. How does Paul and his colleagues intend to be able to fund their missions? Ephesians chapter 4, where I asked you to open. Philippians, sorry, chapter 4. Can we begin our reading from verse 15? And when we do what I want us to do briefly, we'll go to the message for the day. We'll just take a shot from the word of God. Just a shot. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire food that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. This is the only time in the ministry of Paul where Paul personalized God and said, but, verse 19, but my God. He invoked the name of his God, not to the Thessalonian church, not to the Corinthian church. He invoked the name of his God. And in his invocation, he revealed that there was a currency that was more powerful than the British pound. He called it riches in glory. So he had to convert some of that currency and bless the people. Why? Because these were the only set of people that partnered with him. In that apostolic model that was pioneered in Acts chapter 13, the finance model was partnership. And only the Philippian church were Paul's partners. And to them, he prophesied, making God personal. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I had to do this little Bible study to alert us of two matters that I want us to react on. One, how many of you like this hall? Is it not better than where we were before? This crowd, if we were to push this crowd into that place, we'll close the neighborhood. Everybody, the neighboring houses, they need to travel.
But I need to announce to us the rent that we pay here. For 2 years is 10 million. Abi? 12. Jesus Christ. How much have you paid? Come close. So they have paid 2 million, remaining 10. Me, I have paid them 1 million today before coming to the service. Stop that. The reason for my Bible study is to show you that they are running the Antioch model. And in the Antioch model, it thrives on partnership, not offering. It's in Jerusalem that they had the offering model for funding. In Antioch, it is what? Partnership. So we have 9 million to clear this night. Don't be under pressure. If God doesn't move on your heart, don't participate in what I'm doing. Meanwhile, what I saw before I came here, because I went to take permission from Jesus to do this one. I'm actually talking to the people online now. We need 9 million to pay for this venue. So those people that can hear me online, consider sending us what you have so that we can make 9 million. For those of you in the hall and you want to participate in this 9 million, you know the authority I have to tell you this is that me, I have given 1 million. And I gave it before the need was announced. That's the authority I have. If you want to participate in what I just said to produce 9 million so that we can have this place for 2 years, before the 2 years expires, I think God would have settled us somewhere where we don't need to pay money. So if you are willing to participate in what I am announcing, just take a piece of paper, write the amount, write your name. Nobody will call you. We won't remind you and say, wait, bring that. Let me see what you have there. There are two things I said we'll do. First is the rent. Give me that document. So, first of all, we want to tackle the issue of this rent. You want to be part of this 9 million. Just the ushers can equip you with a piece of paper, and then you can write what you are willing to give. Not what you are trusting God for, no. The thing is available, and God has moved on your heart. Sorry, if God doesn't move on your heart, don't do. If he has moved on your heart, you can take the piece of paper and then you connect. I know that 9 million will come today. Number two, this sheet of paper I'm holding here is the Pistis partnership form. So if you want to consistently be partnering with this house, maybe every month, you can give 5,000. It's a covenant between you and God. And then the grace that God has released to support the commission will begin to work in your life. You can request this partnership from the ushers. There's more emphasis on people online in my prayer this afternoon. So is this online? This details. So those of you online, please take advantage of the details that you have on the screen. And in order for us to be able to know that we are reaching our goal, I have 5 more minutes to stop this. If you online want to participate in the rent, maybe you want to give 500,000, 200,000, just write it in the dialogue box so that our DEX officer can accumulate and send me a report on the pulpit here, and then we'll be able to know how far we have gone. Okay? So the partnership forms are going out. That one is for probably monthly partnership to the Pistis place. And also we have the rent motion, the motion concerning the rent. So those of you that are online that you want to participate in the rent, please communicate with us so that we will know where we are in the journey. Pastor, has Pastor gone? Yeah, to check the decks so that we can, in the next 3 minutes, we'll get a feedback to the congregation. This is how far we have gone. If you are in-house and you want to participate, get a sheet of paper from the ushers. Write what you believe is laid on your heart. If nothing is laid on your heart, you are okay. All right? And the Lord will do it. And the way he does it is that he ministers to people. So if he has not ministered to you, just be calm. You will still be blessed during the course of this meeting. But we need to do this administrative aspect of the service so that we can sort out the deficits that we have and ensure that operations are smooth after this conference. It is very likely that after a conference like this, we have a major shortfall that will become a burden on our minister, and we want to avoid that. And as his father in ministry, it is my responsibility to stand with him to ensure that there is a balance. Amen. Hallelujah. He is a worthy man for whom such a thing must be done, to proclaim and to propagate that which God has put upon his hand. So, ushers, as people write out what they are willing to give, I have 3 more minutes. If anyone has written what he wants to give, if they give it to you, bring it to me. This pulpit at this moment is an accounting section. If they write anything and give to you, bring to me. And if there's anybody in the congregation that studied BSc accounting, your services are needed on the pulpit. So just walk out of the congregation and come here quickly. We have an account to balance. Be bold. We have only 3 minutes left. Please, don't. BSc accounting. I didn't say talk. I'm just looking for an accountant. Have you volunteered? Okay, come up. Bring all the sheets to the altar so that we can compute. I have 2 more minutes to finish this. So this is your platform. Do we use the back of this? Every single sheet of paper that is used to pledge for the rent, if you are in custody of it now, bring the sheet of paper to the altar now. Now. Our pastor that went to the multimedia room, bring it now. Now, if there is a contribution someone has made for this rent, come quickly. Come to the altar. Bring it. Bring the sheet of paper. Hey, you leave, bring. Then you can go back and attend to them. Quickly. Let my accountant start work. Quickly, quickly. We have two So accountant, begin to add it up quickly. Do you know what? The way to do this thing, pour your content into just one and go back. You will not take my time. Pour the content. We have 1.5 minutes. The partnership form should go in a different direction. The pledges for the rent should go in a different direction. And all the pledges should be accumulated while the accountant labors. Hallelujah. Please bear with us. This is very important. You will receive a healing and go home. And this, my man on blue, the owner of this place, we call him in the night and say, that's our agreement. So I'm standing with him. Please, you are not under pressure to give anything. If it doesn't move on your heart, don't worry. And it doesn't mean you are unrighteous. So don't feel bad and say, hey, no. No. It means you are not the one God prepared today for this mission. So just be calm. He will still bless you abundantly. Don't do what he's not doing. The moment I heard about the situation when I went back, the great one moved on my heart. And I obeyed. It's as simple as that. So if he doesn't move, don't worry. And meanwhile, if you don't have, he won't move. The Bible says that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. So be at peace. We are going to move your table, accountant, because my time is up. So can you move the accountant somewhere? I will request for this, your report. Can you salute the accountant? And Pastor, you will also submit the report of that which is taking place online. I believe that the people I'm talking to, the real people, they are online. Are you aware of that? All right, so as all of those administrative things are taking place, can you turn your Bible with me quickly for a few minutes? I'll just take a short. And this night we are talking about a guided tour through heaven. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about heaven. Have you heard preaching on heaven? Okay, you have not. Okay. Because you have not, we will change the sermon to... Nobody has heard anything about heaven. Hey. Let's try again. I say, have you heard anything about heaven? In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John was given a rare privilege. And the privilege that the Apostle John was given in the book of Revelation was that he was offered an opportunity to go on a guided tour through the cities of heaven. We are going to use John's guided tour to show you that civilization called heaven is established on 12 pillars. Meanwhile, are you there? Meanwhile, the 12 pillars upon which the civilization of heaven is established are pillars that are open and available to the believer even while he's on earth. So a believer can actually be on earth and be living on the strength of the economy of heaven. You are not with me.
just do a little Bible study. I will show you just one pillar. Then you will study 11. Genesis chapter 2, beginning from verse number 2. Genesis chapter 2, beginning from verse number 2. Okay, let me begin from verse 1. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God rested. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I would like you to underline the word rest in these two verses of the Bible. And stay with me, please. Stay with me. Don't be distracted. When God finished the work of creation, the Bible reveals that he rested. When you hear that God rested, you will think that probably he was exhausted. Because when you view the concept of rest from the perspective of humanity, you will think that God was exhausted. Meanwhile, the Bible says he is the God that giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. So that's what he does. He has a specialty of renewing strength and giving power to the faint. So if the Bible says that God rested, it means God was doing something that was obtainable in heaven. In heaven, there is rest. The first pillar of the civilization of heaven is rest. And I'm going to take time to explain rest as much as possible, and how you can plug into the facility of rest that is domiciled in the heavens. If you're still with me, say amen. Come with me quickly. Let us do something in the book of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I need to make a second statement as I attempt to proceed with my teaching. The technical man, very soft, very soft, very faint and very soft. In Matthew chapter 12 verse, oh my God, I think I need to use my own Bible. So give me 2 minutes to get. Matthew chapter 12 verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Second point I need to make quickly is that only demon spirits are not given their location of the economy of rest. Every spirit that exists in the heavens has an allocation of rest that he needs to apply himself. And the only set of spirits that are not given this allocation of rest are what? Unclean spirits. So part of what forms the civilization of heaven is this economy of rest that is allocated to every spirit. And I also want you to understand quietly that you also have a spirit. The Bible reveals that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So that your human spirit is supposed to enjoy the allocation of rest for spirits, because it's only demonic spirits that do not have any allocation of rest. Are you still there? Now, still pushing further. Still attempting to push further. I will still invite us to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. When you find Exodus 31, then you move straightly to verse number 17. There are two PowerPoint words I want to unveil to us, which will form the basis of our navigation. Still talking about the Sabbath and the rest. In Exodus chapter 31 verse 7, the Bible says, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." According to God, that rest is a sign. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So there are two words I'd like us to extract from this scripture. The first word is rested, and the second word is refreshed. So if you know how to rest, the end product of this kind of rest that I'm talking about is going to be revealed in a refreshing. The proof that you have rested is that you are refreshed. And the rest of which I speak is not the carnal type of rest, even though in the carnal rest, at the end of the day, you are refreshed. And if you, by any means, don't get to sleep for 3 days, if we look at you, we will know. But the implication of what I'm talking about, even though it applies in the carnal realm, it is not the carnal realm I'm talking about. And there are two power words there. The first one is rest, and the second one is what? Refreshing. Having understood those two words, I would like to take you to the book of Isaiah. You know, I said I would take a shot, not so much of your time. In the book of Isaiah, there is a technology revealed in the words of Isaiah as to how your human spirit can rest. And this is only applicable to your human spirit. What I want to show you from the book of Isaiah chapter 28. Since there's an allocation of rest in heaven for every spirit apart from demonic spirits. And because these demonic spirits seriously seek rest. Okay, let's do something else before we go to Isaiah chapter 28. Let's do that Matthew chapter 40, 12 verse 43. Much more. So that you will see what I'm talking about. "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I have come out. And when he come and findeth it empty, swept and garnished, he goeth
and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Do you realize that the rest of the unclean spirit is in his possibility, his ability to possess a host? That's the only place he can find rest. The moment he is cast out from that host, the reality of the non-allocation of rest to him begins to dawn on him. Because of that, he is so desperate to look for where to possess. Do you realize that we are the key to the rest of God? I know you don't believe that. So I need to show you Isaiah chapter 66, beginning from verse 1. Don't worry, we'll do Isaiah chapter 28. Just still trying to expand the subject. In Isaiah chapter 66, from verse 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." It means that heaven is my workstation. Earth is where I lay my legs. But he's still asking us a question. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? This question he's asking is not because heaven is not there. This question God is asking is not because the earth is not there. Those things have been, but he's still looking for a place that you and I will build for him, because it is in that, the confines of that place, he will find. Are you with me? So you see why the unclean spirit needs to possess? Because it's in that arrangement he can find rest. Next verse. Verse 2. Where's my technical? He said, "For all those things have been," meaning heaven has been, earth has been, "and all those things have my hand made. All those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man," that is, if God will achieve rest, he will look to a man. "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. To this man will I look." So God finds rest when there is a man that can yield to him and allow him to do through him what he wants. His address. Can you see that the rest of the Sabbath that God established was actually a sign of something in the spirit? Oh, you are not following my teaching. He said, "This is a sign between me and the children of Israel." That one is a sign. But the actual rest lies in the possibilities that God has when he finds a man that is yielded to him, so that he can express himself through that man. Such a man that can express God is a man that the cross has conquered. The power of his self-life has been submitted. He now sees the true goal of this creature called humanity, which is a tabernacle, a temple, a dwelling place where God can orchestrate his displays. Man is supposed to be a theater where God can perform. And the first time in the history of God, when God found a man through whom he could perform, was Jesus Christ, when he came out of the waters of Jordan. So that which God intended to do through man became possible to do through this man. He found rest. So Jesus could say, "If you have seen me, you have seen my Father. He's the one that runs the theater on my inside. And all I do is to yield so that he can find expression." Did you get it to that point? Alright. So, how
How does your human spirit tap into the economy of rest that is in God? Isaiah chapter 28. I have four more scriptures to read on this subject, but I will stop with Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 verse 11. It is possible for you to live the life of heaven on the earth. So that when you eventually get to heaven, nothing is new. Because that's the life you lived. You lived on the strength of that economy. It was in the book of Genesis that you will see that there was an arrangement for the layer of heaven to exist in the independent of earth. So in the book of Genesis, you will see that there was nothing like rain. Because what watered the earth came from the ground. The two realms were supposed to be independent, self-supporting, self-sustaining, self-rejuvenating until the fall of man. And when the fall of man came, it was only heaven that was in shape. Earth was out of shape. Hence, the prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's when the two realms became interactive. So that people that understand the economy of God can tap into the endless bounties of heaven and function by it upon the face of the earth. And the first in the area of civilizations that are possible in heaven is the economy of rest. That's what I want. After rest, the next thing is food. They eat in heaven. I know you don't believe me. You still? Okay, no time. I would have shown you that when Jesus rose from the dead, he ate fish. He's captured in your Bible. And his heavenly body was not contaminated by earthly food. Do you still remember the scripture that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door," he said, "I will come in and eat with him, so that he will now eat with me. I will eat your food so that you can learn how to eat my food, because I have food in my realm." It was the food of God that Elijah ate, and he walked 40 days, heaven's bread, 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Just to clear your doubts. It was the food of heaven, the manna of heaven, that the children of Israel ate, and they had no need to visit a boutique. Their shoes grew on their legs. It was size 39 in January, became size 42 in September. The two realms began to interact. You are not with me. You see, we are behind schedule in the body of Christ. We are still, you are the 1986 model of yourself. You don't know. Spiritual technology has advanced. That's advanced. So when you hear a scripture, are you with me? A scripture says, "Has that not known, has that not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth is never weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. For he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint." Why did he say even for the youth? Because we are the ones that claim we have strength. But he said, "With your youthful strength you will yet faint, you will yet be weary, and the young men among us will utterly fall." But he made a statement. He said, "They that wait on the Lord, so they shall renew their strength." First of all, they will mount up with wings. There are three examples of people that have eaten heaven's food. One, they will mount up with wings as eagles. I hope you know that you cannot mount up, because it is supernatural for you to mount up. That means, but it is natural for the eagle to mount up. So when the Bible says you will mount up with wings like eagles, it means you will do the supernatural naturally. That's a proof that you have eaten. I hope you know, to hear God is not natural. To pray is not natural. You can gossip and describe your pastor's head like egg. The head is like egg. And you can say it all night because it is from your flesh. You are drawing the energy. But talk to God and you sleep off. It is supernatural to talk to God. So when you see someone doing it naturally, he found heaven's economy. Second example, he said, they shall walk and not be weary. That was the example of Elijah. He ate the bread and he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. It means he did the natural, supernatural. It's natural to walk, but it's not natural to walk and not be weary. So when he walked and he was not weary, it was because he ate angel's bread. When you see someone, he was burning on campus, and then you see him in work life, all the fire has gone. And he's sending text messages, WhatsApp messages to ladies in Oyo. You know what happened? He ate only one dose of bread, but Elijah ate two. So that one took him from campus. But when he came into public life, the effect of that one bread wore out. You need many doses. Are you with me now? So I still want to talk about rest first. It's after rest I can tell you about food. Because when the angel came to feed Elijah, he didn't say, they are hungry, so let's feed you. No, it was not because of hunger he fed him. In the eyes of the angel, Elijah can die of hunger. But he said, rise and eat. Why? Because the journey, I'm feeding you for the journey. So if you see a man that doesn't have momentum in the journey again, he has not been eating. Many of you started with fire. After 7 years. Say, man, this thing. You know what? The dose he took was not sufficient for his journey. The journey. So he feeds you because of what? The journey. And you will hear Jesus speaking. When they brought bread to him and they discover he was not ready for physical food, they say somebody must have fed him. Then he had to clear their doubts and to tell them, my meat is to do the will of him. It's the journey. The journey that sent me and to finish. The journey. Please help me tell your neighbor, you need to eat because of what? Tell your neighbor. Now, I've been speaking in parables all this time. Let me speak plainly. The Church of Jesus in Nigeria is going on the second journey of Exodus. There's going to be a massive movement. A massive movement. Just like there was in the 70s during the SU revival. There's a migration in search of God. And it's going to be a heavy migration. The things that have kept us bound as a nation, we have to give way so that this mighty procession will take place. An avalanche of the Spirit. Something orchestrated from heaven, like Pentecost. Pentecost fire began in the throne room before it came to the upper room. Something orchestrated from heaven will come into our nation. The first domain that will feel the impact of this visitation will be our politics. Watch it. When you see this sign, know that the days of the Exodus has come. And if you have not eaten the bread of heaven, the corn of heaven, your name will fade away. Isaiah chapter 28, beginning from verse 11. This is Isaiah. He said, for with the stammering lips and with another tongue will I speak unto these people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. You remember those are our two power words?
What are they? Right? According to Isaiah, because you possess a human spirit, you need to subject it to the economy of rest that is in the heavens. And Isaiah called this rest the stammering of the lips. And that's speaking in tongues. If you know, if you are someone that speaks in tongues for long, anxiety cannot hold on your soul. Anytime you notice anxiety has come on your soul, anxiety makes you restless. It means that you have come to a domain where demons can manipulate you. You are experiencing the same symptoms that unclean spirits that are cast out are experiencing when you have anxiety. The handle is available for Satan to manipulate you. Anxiety is a danger. It's a curve that Satan can use to malign your destiny. It's an emergency. And the way to deal with it is you need to stammer with your lips. If you don't stop, you will come to that point where you are submerged in the rest that is in heaven. It's not as if the situations change, but you changed. Do you still remember that scripture? It said, be anxious for nothing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. It means the same thing that will create anxiety are the same things that will push you into prayer. He said, don't allow anxiety. Instead, pray, supplication, thanksgiving. And you come to a point where the peace of God, which is the umpire of heaven, that rest that is in God, will be ministered to your soul. Your soul will be quiet. That is why the Bible says that he that believes shall not make haste. Do you realize that it's not the water around the boat that makes it sick? It's the one that enters it. Once it has entered you and there's anxiety, you are going for a shipwreck. So he said, with the stammering of the lips and with a new tongue, he said, that is the rest that will lead you to refreshing. There were many times in ministry I was hedged in. I ran away to Jesus and began to speak in tongues. 7 hours for 12 hours. Then I was submerged into the economy of rest that is in heaven. The situation didn't change, but I changed. There was no anxiety in me anymore. So I could look at the situation and see myself apart from it. Every time I succeeded. If he has ministered anxiety to you, it means you have there's a hole in your armor. Like Goliath, you will fall down. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. Oh my. I want to stop there this evening. Today, I want us to seek rest in heaven. Rest. 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 Now, you know, I told you God told me, it was his meeting I came to preach, and I entered into the room and Jesus came. I have come to set you free, so that where I am, there also will my servant be. I knew what he was talking about. He was saying it's time for you to leave your job. Meanwhile, you know, what they discussed before I came to you, my Oga called me and said, they know you are preaching. If anybody asks me, where are you? I say, it's on the crusade ground. I was troubled and I prayed. Jesus said, what? I have come. He took me away from that anxiety. He said, it's time for you to step out. The energy with which I stepped out was the encounter I had in that hotel room. Because I came out free. Oh! There was no evidence for me to show you that I was free that day. But this is exactly 1 year after that day. Do you realize it's 1 year? In that peace that came through the prayer, I left that meeting and we set up a building. I've resigned.
We built a building. As at this morning, it is 805 million. The rest that I felt, that building was inside. Are you following? Meanwhile, there was anxiety because my Oga was, and when I went, there was a rest. It took me 1 year to uncover the meaning of that rest. I am no longer among the people that preach for profit of you. If you see me somewhere, God sent me. You know, I said it this, yesterday morning, that no platform in Nigeria is promotion to me. No more. No platform. No more. There's no platform in Nigeria that I preach on that is promotion. If you see me there, God sent me. Oh, you are wondering, oh, there's nothing working in my life. Can you travel? Travel. 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 When I came out of that hotel room that day, I was free. Jesus said, I came to set you free so that where I am, there also will my servant be. There was no greater peace in my life when I went than when I submitted that resignation. Because Jesus had brought me into a rest that I could not explain. It was part of the economy of heaven. Your spirit needs to enjoy what I'm talking about for you to know the power that it carries. If you are still a victim of elementals, little anxiety, worry, confusion, the demons are on your case, you need to take a trip to the regions where rest can be found. And Isaiah said, with the stammering of the lips and with a new tongue will I speak unto these people. For this is the rest that I will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshment. Are you there? We'll stop here today. Now, you want to rise? Let's seek rest. A little rest. There's a lot of it in heaven. Your means of transportation tonight is the stammering of the lips. And if you know what I am talking about, you will not stop until your spirit touches rest. Until Jesus brings you into the economy of rest that is domiciled in the heavens of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come. He's knocking right now. He's knocking right now. He's knocking right now. He's knocking. He's knocking. Resources in the heavens that you need to be partaking of today. You can be hard pressed on every side, but yet not in despair. You can be cast down, but not forsaken. There is something in the 18th vessel, a treasure that Satan cannot understand. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. For my yoke release him. And my body is light. My body is light. You will need to take a trip from the natural domain. There are resources to support your destiny, domiciled in heaven. Come on to me. Come on to me. And I will give you rest. You can go past the anxiety. You can go past the turbulence. There is a place where rest is found. There is a place. There is a place. There is a place. There is a place. I will give you rest. Any other moment, yes, compress it and make for a ball. Open say, come and tell it. Oh, come on to me. Come on to me. Come on to me on the eve of labor.
He wants to give you rest tonight. Rest from your struggle. Rest from your labor. He said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Listen to me. There are 12 people in this congregation, and the Lord said, I should tell you that He is increasing your rank. Now, you don't need to say amen. I say you don't need to say amen. If what I've said is true, the Lord will confirm it. Father, those 12 people in this congregation that you said you are changing their rank so that they can be suited for more critical kingdom service, I ask, oh God, that you confirm it with an anointing. Let an anointing rest upon them to confirm that their rank has changed. So from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall, Father, show me a sign. 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 The hand of the Lord comes stronger, stronger, stronger on those 12 people. There are 12 of them. There are 12 of them. Ushers, I want to lay hands on them if you can bring them. He will give you rest tonight. He will give you rest. Rest. Give you rest. He'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And you shall find rest for your soul. And my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul.
listen to me. Listen. There are 8 evangelists that I see in this room. The Lord is going to release a fire on you. This fire, this flame will not be quenched throughout your lifetime. 8 of them. There will be a burning here. There will be a burning, a burning, a burning, a burning, a burning comes on you. There will be a burning. Flames, such flames that come from heaven. As I have, I will give you half liberty in the spirit tonight. The first that I have is a spirit of supplication and intercession. And some of you will be, the Lord will
transmit it to you. Yes, it's already coming, the spirit of supplication and intercession from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall. It's coming stronger, 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 stronger. Holy Ghost, 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 move. The second thing I have is the spirit of revelation and the spirit of knowledge. There are five special people that God chooses in this meeting to transmit the spirit of knowledge and revelation. And it will come like a burning fire in the crucible. A burning fire. Lord, show me these five brothers and sisters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anointing is present tonight. Just in case you are afflicted in your body, you can be healed this moment. Oh my God. I must say, my ego. Fresco vilami, silo covaramo. Suma selica. Ebrochendo moselia. Salem of Gloria Seminai to Compra Hasalama. As we pray for Akwa Ibom tonight, something will happen in this state tonight. I see something in the spirit. Oh my God. Selima Kobela. Selima Santelia. Selima Kuria. Sikos Keto Brain. Amai Kompela Musha Ketela Brantaba Boli Malahateli. Sheminaito Kombres Kava Suma Salabaita. Escobrela Mantala Bunja Niko Bresco Vilamina Kade. Oh my God. Oh my God. Escoces Alamina Kade Abranta Babori Malahaita. Tonight, we'll spend 5 minutes to pray for this state and to pull down anything that God has not erected. We want to delve a heavy blow on witchcraft. Can you raise your voice and pray? We pull down unrighteousness, we pull down divination and witchcraft, wickedness. We pull it down. I cannot hear your cry. I can't hear your cry. I can't hear your cry. This is our demand as a people, that the days of darkness, witchcraft is over in the land of Akwa Ibom. That from this day, may the Lord begin to implement his heart desire for the people of this land in the name of Jesus Christ. Shemo kubera minasiku brasketo menakante. Lambro Kombesika Barama Santelia. Yemo Seli Kobeska Batwa. Iko Petros Kema Sila Bahalata. You can cry. We uproot darkness, we uproot wickedness. That great light that Jehovah wants to shine upon a vibe of state, let it arise with intensity. Rame
mercy. Ramela gospede. Ekrama kapalakako. Kapakosketa benakadia. Apresoko palakuna. Rakabeskote bregede. Iaima kelo. Iaima kelo. Iaima kelo. Silame. Palia cope, palia cabezo, palia sante, palia cobelama, palia sali, palia corasi, rabo con de malata. E alle le lobo, e alle schilo mon cattaia, raca palala babo, raca sali, raca mantala babore, a me soselaita. Ame kapala kuda, ame senda ba, ame kupreska ya toma. Lai te. Jesus, give me a loud amen. Let's try. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I see someone with a situation on the throat, and the Lord is healing that throat. There's a situation on the throat, and the Lord's hand is upon it already. In the name of Jesus. I see three sisters, very beautiful sisters of marriageable age, none of them married. And one of those sisters is present here. Where are you? Three sisters. One of them is in this meeting. Where are you? Where are you? Three sisters in one family. Nothing like marriage. One of them is in this meeting. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Even though you are many, it's only one I'm talking to. So climb up. Climb up. The Lord will show me which of you. Yeah. Is implicated. Because there's an instant visitation. There's an instant visitation. The kind of miracle that will take place in the same year, all these three ladies will be married in 1 year. Can you face me? All right, Father, the family that you are talking about, that you are referring to, can you show me by an act of power? Can you show me? Lord, is there still anyone remaining? Show me by an act of power. Show me. Show me. The yoke, is the yoke that is breaking up. The yoke. In 1 year, three of you will be married. In 1 year. Pray for a visitation. I pray for a visitation. I pray for a visitation. In the name of Jesus. Three of you can go. In Jesus' mighty name. Leave those ones, leave those ones until he finishes. Oh, you see, he has not finished with them. He has not finished. He has not finished. Allow him to finish. Hey. Amaikos Eli Kamahalaito. Oh, Abarato si. Now listen. In the next 5 minutes, I'll come down. So don't worry. Alright? Number one. Someone, death has been programmed for somebody in the next 14 days. Calm down. Father, hover over this congregation and show me the person. 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 From my left hand side to my right hand side. Bring that person for me. That's number one. Number two. Oh my God. I don't know how much I can tell you. Number two. Someone in this meeting, your name, in addition to six names, is nailed on a shrine as we speak now. I know you will not believe. So because you will not believe, I need to ask God, why are you wasting my time? Why are you wasting my time? Ushers. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one whose name is fasting to an altar and has been under manipulation for many years, from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the back of the hall, to the overflow outside, Holy Spirit, help me find that individual. Help me find that individual. Now, ushers, as I speak, this command I gave has affected somebody that is outside in the overflow. Can you look for the person for me? Because I'm seeing outside. And someone is implicated by that matter. Where is the lady? Bring her up. Bring the person outside quickly. Sister, come, don't worry. Wait, don't cry. It's okay. Now, the person that brought death to your family, what are we going to do to the person? Should we send the death back? Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus, the sentence has been proclaimed. So let the one that brought death take death. Is it the one outside? I'm waiting for the one outside. This one, okay, raise her up. Sister, what will we do to the person that brought death? You like that sentence? Or we should forgive? Lord, in the name of Jesus, the one that brought death, let him take death in the name of Jesus. You cannot balance accounts with the blood of this young lady. So you will take what you brought in the name of Jesus. Now this one is quarter to go. That's why I say you should find him. We break the yoke of death upon your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Death, let her go in Jesus' name. We have two to go. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you a story. A certain family present in this auditorium. There is a priesthood that God committed to your family, but it was perverted for many generations and used in divination. You were supposed to be a dreamer of dreams, that the revelations of God will come to you in your dreams, but what you see night after night are terrible dreams of darkness. So much so that sometimes you are afraid to fall asleep. It is you I'm looking for. Come to me. Okay, bring that lady for me, or anybody that. We will change the signal you receive this night so that the real signal can begin to come. Oh, you have that experience? What's your name? Angeline. You have that experience? Don't worry. No, it's okay. But you see, I'm actually looking for one person, but there are many. So bring them. This is the Jesus Theater. Jesus. Climb up there. I'm looking for one person. Then I can pray for the rest. Step lively, fast. Lively. Listen to me. I'm looking for one person, but I'll pray for all of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that came from that family that you have given a priesthood, but the priesthood has been perverted. Show me with a sign of power. We break the yoke and change the signal. We break the yoke, we change the signal. We break the yoke, we change the signal. We break the yoke, we change the signal. We change the signal.
We'll change the signal. We'll change the signal in the name of Jesus. We'll change the signal in the name of Jesus. We'll change the signal in the name of Jesus. We'll change the signal. We'll change the signal. Thank you, Lord. If I've touched you, you can go. The signal is changed. You will see encounters that come from heaven. It's changed. It's changed. We'll change the signal. We'll break the yoke. We'll break the yoke. We'll change the signal. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just leave them. Leave them. Just leave them. The Lord will finish. Finally, we'll do it two more times. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And right now we raise a prayer for the land of Akwa Ibom. That which is in the land that you did not plant, we remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. We remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. The seasons have come for the manifestation of the sons of God, and so you can no longer occupy that land. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let that which God has ordained for the territory begin to show forth in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Please, all partners, ministry partners, please come outside. Let Papa just pray for you. Partners, come out. Let Papa pray. And then workers, do that quickly as well. Partners, ministry partners, our ministry partners, the Peace Place partners, please come out. Let Papa just lay hands on you. Just kneel. Come outside, kneel. Let him pray for you. Briefly, just come quickly. Ministry partners, in 2 minutes. Please, nobody should leave now. Nobody should leave now. Nobody should leave now. It's important. Nobody should leave now. Overflow 1, overflow 2, overflow 3.